attachment to the church history. Some of you might know the name, Brother Milo Knight, that was a former pastor here. Of course, he's passed away. But his daughter and granddaughter, right, are here with us this morning. And Sister Blackman, glad to have y'all, and appreciate y'all being here. Say hello to these ladies somewhere before the day is over, okay? God bless you. Thank y'all for coming, okay? Amen. Bless you. Amen. Brother Keith.
God bless you. Thank you, brother. Yes, God bless you. Well, it is an honor for me and my wife to be here this morning, and appreciate the preacher giving us the invitation to come and to be a part of the services. Enjoyed the good Sunday school and then the good singing. What a blessing it is. And thank y'all for making us feel welcome. Sure is good to be saved, isn't it? Amen. Good to be on our way to heaven. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm enjoying the trip. Amen. Thank God. I think that's the way it ought to be. Would you open your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 15, and then also to the Gospel of Mark chapter number 7. And I'll be reading out of Mark 7, first of all. Matthew chapter 15 and Mark chapter 17. Preacher was talking about the weather change. I'm kindly not looking forward to that 20s degree weather's coming up. The older I get, I don't like the extremes, the heat or the cold. Amen. So I like the in-betweens. But it is a blessing to be alive and enjoy whatever we get. Amen. Mark chapter number 7, and I want to begin reading with verse number 24. This is the story of the Syrophoenician woman, as she is referred to. Verse 24, "And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid." And I tell you, when he's in the house, it's hard to hide him, isn't it? Amen. Thank God he's going to show up. "For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. And the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician." In other words, she was a Syrian from the city of Phoenicia. And the Bible said she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. "But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet or fit to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, Go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed." Now let's look over in Matthew's gospel, and the reason I'm wanting to read the both accounts is because Matthew records a few things that Mark does not, and of course Mark says a few things that Matthew doesn't, but I want them all. In Matthew chapter number 15, in verse number 21, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." You see, Mark doesn't record that he called her the son of David, called him the son of David. "She said, My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us." Mark does not include these statements either. "But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." I love this passage of Scripture. It offers so much insight and instruction to us as children of God, as people of God. Our brother in the adult Sunday school class that my wife and I sat in, he was talking about faith. And when he announced his subject, I said, "Lord, do you sure you want me to preach on this today?" And he said, "Yes, I do. So I will." Amen. But I want to preach the Lord being my helper a few moments on the elements of true faith. The elements of true faith. And it is seen in the story that I've just read about this faith of this Syrophoenician woman. You know, I'm grateful that in God's Word, we have the record of a lot of great men that did a lot of great things for God. But God has also included in the text some stories of great women as well. And I appreciate the Lord being fair and honest with it, aren't you? Amen. I'm thankful for that. But this is the faith of a Gentile mother. She's from this area that the Bible refers to as Tyre and Sidon. And if you're looking at a map of the land of Israel, the country or the city of Tyre was about 35 miles north of the Sea of Galilee. And the city of Sidon was about 60 miles north of the Sea of Galilee. And both of them were right on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. And so this is outside of the borders of the land of Israel. Now we're not for sure, the Bible doesn't tell us otherwise, but according to the scriptures in the four Gospels, this would be the only time that Jesus ever left the land of Israel. I know that when he was a child that Joseph and Mary took him down into Egypt. We know that. But as far as him preaching and leaving the land of Israel, we don't know that he ever did that. Then the Bible said here that he simply came to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. So whether he actually went into their land or stayed on the Israeli side may be up for debate as well. But if he did leave, this is the only recorded instance of him leaving the land of Israel. And this woman, she was a Gentile. And I find this interesting as well, that in all the four Gospels, the Bible only records two times that Jesus ever said that somebody had great faith. One of them was a centurion who was a Gentile in Luke chapter number 7, and the other one is a woman who is a Gentile here in Matthew 15 and Mark chapter number 7. So I think this was really a rebuke to the nation of Israel, because he came into his own and his own received him not. But thank God for the next verse, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." So I'm glad that he did come, that Gentiles could be saved as well. Amen. But she was a woman, and I think she is a type of all of us. Amen. And so I want to share a few little things with you, and I'll be done here this morning. I want you to notice, first of all, with me in our text, we see faith's foundation. You say, "What do you mean, faith's foundation?" I want to say that faith is not something that we conjure up on our own. Faith is not us reaching out into the unknown and just simply claiming or naming or getting a hold of something and assuming that to be real. That's not what faith is. I like what Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." I personally believe, from my understanding of the scriptures, that faith is a response to what God is already saying. And if God's not saying anything, you have no reason or no foundation to put your faith. I want you to notice in Mark chapter 7, it's in our text, the Bible said in verse 25, "For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit," now here's my point, "heard of him," are you looking at that? "She heard of him and came and fell at his feet." So here she is, living in one of these cities at Tyre and Sidon, and her daughter is demon-possessed, and she hears about Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? She heard of him. And before she heard of him, she had no facts or no foundation. I mean, she didn't even know of the man. So she had no facts or no foundation to put her faith. But when she heard of him, and I'm kind of inclined to believe this, that she probably heard somebody talking about the great miracles that he had been doing. Maybe opening blinded eyes or unstopping deaf ears or causing the lame to walk. Or maybe even casting devils out of somebody else. And I believe the woman, when she heard of him, she simply does this. If he's able to do that for somebody else, then maybe he's able to do that for my daughter. And that was the birth of that faith in her heart, is that she heard what the Lord was doing for somebody else. If you'll study Hebrews chapter number 11, it talks about by faith Noah prepared an ark, and by faith Abraham, when he was called, he left, you know, the land of the Ur, the Chaldeans. And you go all the way down through there in chapter number 11, and it's talking about all these patriarchs and all the things that they did by faith. But in every episode, now watch, in every one of those situations, without fail, it was God who first of all said something to that individual. It wasn't Noah that started the process. God came to Noah and told him, I'm going to destroy the world and I want you to build this big ark. So how was it by faith, Noah? Noah was responding to what God said to him. Abraham, it wasn't his idea to leave where he was at and to go into the land of Canaan, but by faith he did that. So his faith was a response to what God was saying to him. And I know that you and I don't know about you, but me, I want a greater faith, amen. And so when I read my Bible, when I hear my Bible taught, when I hear the Word of God preached, that's the faith, I mean, that's the facts, that's the foundation, and so then my response to that is going to be my faith, amen. And so in this story of this Syrophoenician woman, we see faith's foundation. In other words, she was responding to what she had heard about Jesus. Amen. I like what Paul said it this way. How then shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without what? Without a preacher. Amen. Somebody's going to have to tell them. And so that's the responsibility of us as preachers. That's the responsibility of the New Testament church. We are the salt. We are the light. And if we want anybody to get saved, if we want anybody to live a life of faith, they're going to have to exercise that in response to what they're seeing and hearing out of you and I. Amen. Isn't that right? And so we see faith's foundation. I like it. I thank God for it. And I want to say, I'm like the man that came to Jesus whose son was possessed with the devil. Jesus said, you believe I'm able? He said, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Amen. I am a believer, but I want to be helped in my unbelief. I'm not talking about unbelief as a sinner, but I'm talking about there's times in my life that I just don't believe like I ought to. Amen. That I don't have the faith I ought to have. Amen. The Bible said, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And I don't know about you, but sometimes it's hard to step out there when you can't see where you're going to put your next foot down, amen. But when we got facts, when we got the Word of God, amen, and God telling us and giving us these promises, thank God we can do right, amen. So we see faith's foundation. Number two, I want you to see faith's submission in this. What do you mean faith's submission? Well, look at it in verse 25. The Bible said, for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, watch now, heard of him and came and did what? And fell at his feet. Amen. Can I say this morning, Brother Steve, there are some things that are not going to get done unless it gets done at the feet of Jesus. Amen. I want you to hang on to that. And so this woman, her faith, when she came to Jesus, now watch, she didn't bring the daughter. The daughter stayed back home, and the woman came to where Jesus was. He was at somebody's house. She heard about him. She came, and the Bible said she fell at his feet. And in the Bible, and in that day, that was the place of the servant. That was the place of the slave, to fall at someone's feet. That was the place of submission. And what she was showing by her kneeling and falling at the feet of the Lord, she was submitting to him. She was putting her life and her care and her desire and her request for her daughter, she was submitting to the Lord and falling at his feet. And I love her position. Amen. I love her position. She was at his feet. And then I love the profession. She called him Lord. If you go back over in Matthew 15, she called him Lord. And I want to say, friend, if we'll do that in our life, if we'll find ourselves at the feet of Jesus. I love the story of Mary. Amen. I find in the gospel where Martha and Mary had this meal for Jesus, you know, at their house there in Luke chapter number 10. And Martha was complaining because Mary was what? She was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him teach the word of God. And Martha was observing. But here's what I'm saying. It was at the feet of Jesus that Mary found her blessings. Hang on to that. It was at the feet of Jesus that Mary found her blessing. Well, when you go to John chapter number 11, when Lazarus died, when Jesus came there to Bethany, when Jesus came, Mary did what? She fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother had not have died. She not only found her blessings at the feet of Jesus, but she brought her burdens, amen, at the feet of Jesus. And then in John chapter number 12, the next chapter, they were having a meal celebrating Lazarus being raised from the dead. And Martha was there and Lazarus was there and Jesus was there. The apostles was there. But Mary came and knelt at the feet of Jesus and broke that alabaster box and anointed the feet of Jesus with that oil. Mary found her blessings at his feet. Mary laid her burden down at his feet. And Mary gave her best at the feet of Jesus. Amen. Now, there are just some things that ought to be done at the feet of Jesus. What are you talking about? I'm talking about that represents a place of submission. It represents a place of worship. It represents a place to where we are acknowledging who we are, and that is nothing, and he's everything, amen, and it's at his feet. Some things, let me say it again, some things can only be done at the feet of Jesus, amen. So in your prayer closet, listen, you don't have to see him to be at his feet. Thank God for that, amen. You don't have to see him. You don't have to see his feet. In other words, it's a place of submission. And in your prayer closet, in your private time of devotion and prayer, you can get along with God and find yourself at his feet and pour your heart out to him, amen, and make intercession for those just like this woman was interceding for her daughter, amen. Thank God. Thirdly, I want you to notice with me in my text, we see faith's foundation, we see faith's submission, but I see faith's discernment. You say, what are you talking about, faith discernment? Well, I think she exhibits this in two different areas of her life. In other words, she discerned her daughter's need. Amen. She could have had a lot of different reasons or maybe diagnoses of what's wrong with her daughter. But you know what? She said, my daughter's got a devil. Hey, hello. Can I say it another way? She discerned that her child's problem was really a spiritual problem. It was a spiritual problem. And if we aren't careful, and I'm not saying your kid or somebody else's kid's demon possessed, but here's what I am saying. This woman had discernment of what was wrong with her child. And I want to say this. It's easy to make an excuse and say, well, the problem is this. The problem is social. The problem is emotional. The problem is financial. The problem is academic. The problem is, you know, and we could go on and on and on and on. But when you boil a lot of this stuff right down to where the rubber meets the road, a lot of it is nothing more than a spiritual problem. Amen. Isn't that right? I appreciate faith's discernment. She was able to discern what was wrong with her daughter. And then not only that, but she also discerned this. She discerned Jesus' ability. When she had never seen him, she didn't know what he looked like. She had never heard his voice. Can y'all get a hold of this? She had never seen him. She had never heard his voice. She had never met him. But yet, based on what she heard, I have never seen him, amen. I have never heard his voice audibly, but based upon what he said, I feel like I know him already, don't you? Based on what his word says, I feel like I know him, amen. And this woman, she made a discerning conclusion about this man Jesus. And she was thinking, if I can just go to where he's at. But I want you to notice something else. She never took her daughter with her. So she had to believe that my daughter's back over here at home and Jesus is over here in the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And she made the journey and she had to believe not only that Jesus was able to touch her daughter, but he was going to have to do it from a distance because her daughter was here and she was going to where Jesus was. Amen. All of that went through her mind before she ever got to where Jesus was. Amen. I'm glad distance is no problem. Isn't that right? I'm glad distance is no problem. Faith's discernment. And then I want you to think with me about faith's humility here in chapter 7 in verse number 27 and 28. I love this. I want you to look what the Bible said in verse number 27 when she asked Jesus to cast the devil out of her. But the Bible said in verse 27, but Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet, and that word means to be fit, to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. You know what Jesus in essence was saying? He was saying that I am come to the nation of Israel, not to the Gentiles. That's the way he started his ministry. He came preaching, amen, repent. He preached to the nation of Israel like John the Baptist did. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I know there's a disagreement here in this area, but I mean about this truth I'm about to say. But I believe this. I believe that Jesus made a legitimate offer to the nation of Israel. If they would have received him, he could have set up the kingdom age then, but they rejected him. Amen. I believe that. In Matthew chapter number 10, he sent forth his apostles, those disciples out preaching, and he said, don't go to the Gentiles, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So when Jesus is telling this Gentile woman, she's a Gentile, she knows she's a Gentile, he knows she's a Gentile, and he in essence is saying, I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. He was her a dog? That's what he was saying. Look what she does. I love it. Did she get insulted? Did she get pouty and mad? The Bible said in verse 28, and she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord. Amen. Yes, Lord. Yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. Amen. Oh my. What the Lord was saying, what the Lord was saying when that table is set and the family sets down to eat, that the children are the ones to have the meal first. It's their bread, and they're going to eat first. And she's saying, yes, Lord, I know that. And in other words, what she was saying, I don't want the child's part. I don't want the family's portion. I don't want the children's portion. But what she was saying, but when those crumbs fall off the table of the little house pet, the dog, he's the one that licks those up. She's saying, I don't want their portion. I don't want their side. I don't want what they're getting. I just want to be the one to get the crumbs that fall from the table. Amen. What humility in this woman. What humility. And can I say this? This is also, it shows us a picture of salvation. When the Holy Ghost comes to someone and begins to convict them of their salvation, you know what the first thing they have to get settled in their mind is? They have to say, yes, Lord. When the Holy Ghost says you're a sinner, when the Holy Ghost says that you're on your way to hell, when the Holy Ghost says you've got a problem, you're going to have to say, yes, Lord. And if you're not willing to say, yes, Lord, you ain't going to get saved. Yes, Lord. Look at her humility. I love, the Bible said this, the Bible says that in the book of James, that God resists. And that word resist, my understanding, like a word picture of that, it means to stand back. In other words, if someone's approaching you and you put your hands out and you put against their chest and you stop them, that's what the word resist means. And the Bible says that God resists the proud. In other words, God is going to keep you at bay if you are full of pride. You're not going to get anywhere with Him. But it does say, but He gives grace unto the humble man. Amen. If you're willing to say, yes, Lord. Well, you know, this phrase, yes, Lord, could apply to so many things. Yes, Lord, you know that I'm a sinner and I need saved. Yes, Lord, you know that the problems that I've got in my life, I can't handle them all by my own self. I need you. Yes, Lord, I can't do it without you. Yes, Lord. But this idea of I can take care of it and I can do it, I'm telling you, neighbor, you'll not get anywhere with God like that. Faith's submission, faith's discernment, faith's humility. But I want you to notice faith's intercession. What do you mean intercession? She was there interceding for her daughter. Her daughter's the one with the devil. But I love what the way Matthew put it over here in Matthew chapter number 15. Watch this. In Matthew 15:25, the Bible said, then came she and worshipped him. Now watch. And saying, Lord, help me. Have you ever seen that? Her daughter's the one with the devil. But when she comes to the Lord, she says, Lord, help me. What do you mean? She's identifying with the problem and the need of her daughter. In other words, this woman is stepping into the life of her daughter, stepping into the condition that her daughter has, and she is saying, Lord, help me. In other words, she's sharing that with her. Can I say this morning? That you and I are the most like Christ when we step in to other people's needs and help to bear that load and bear that burden and make intercessions for them. Because what did Jesus do when He come into this world? For the Son of Man is come to what? To seek and to save that which was lost. Of the very epitome of the sacrifice and the offering of Christ was that He took somebody else's place. He took our place. He died in my stead. He bore my sins. He went to Calvary, amen, for my sin. And He went there for your sin. He was our and is our intercessor. Amen. Us, there's only one, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, amen. And the only way that I have an access to the Father is through His Son. Are you hear me? It's through His Son. And this woman is saying, Lord, I'm here on behalf of my daughter. On behalf of my daughter. She's interceding for her. May the Lord help. I want you to notice in Matthew's account, we see faith's persistence. I'm about done. Look with me in Matthew 15. What the Bible said in verse number 22. I love this little story. The Bible said in verse 22, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter's grievously vexed with the devil." But look, but he answered her not a word. Mark doesn't record this. So it means that when she first came to Jesus, came into that house where he was at, and she told him that my daughter has a devil and vexed with a, she's grievously vexed with the devil. The Bible said, but he answered her not a word. He ignored her the first time she cried out. He totally ignored her. I don't know about y'all, but that'd be discouraging. But what did her faith do? What did she do? She persisted. The Bible said, now watch, and his disciples. Not only did Jesus intentionally ignore her to start with, his disciples came and besought him, that is, they pled with him, saying, now watch, send her away, here's what I'm after, for she crieth after us. And that Greek word for crieth is in a tense that means she kept on and she kept on and she kept on. In other words, Jesus is ignoring her, and now the disciples in her presence is saying, Master, why don't you send her away? Why don't you tell her to leave? Isn't it amazing sometimes how that we as believers can be so hardened and so callous to other people's needs and concerns? Here she's admitting that her daughter has a devil and she's seeking help, but yet at the same time, they're telling Jesus to send her away. They don't understand. They don't understand the burden she has, and they really have not yet fully grasped of what he came into the world to do. They really didn't get a hold of the fact that that's what he came for, was to minister to people like her and the need that she had. And so they're saying, send her away. But none of that deters her. The Lord ignoring her, the disciples discouraging her. What does it take to turn you around? Amen. Well, I heard her say something about, I think she was talking about me. I ain't going back. Amen now, come on. He shook my hand, but he wasn't looking me in the eye when he did it. I don't think he likes me. I ain't going back. And on and on and on, we've got our reasons and our reasons and our reasons. But no, it boiled it down to this. She said, my daughter's got a need and I need help. Persistence. And can I say this, when the Lord is silent sometimes in our life, you ever been there? Did you know that sometimes his silence is an act of mercy on his part? You say, what do you mean? God is doing something when he's even silent in our lives. And oftentimes we're learning about him when he's silent, when we're waiting for our prayers to be answered, when he's speaking, and when we're speaking to him and pouring our heart out to him, and we've got our desires and our requests, and we're wanting him to do things, but the answer just seems to be not coming, and there's silence. Sometimes we learn more about him in those times of silence than we do if our needs are met immediately. But most often, listen now, we learn more about ourselves in those times when he is silent. When Jesus first ignored her, I'm sure that it took her back. I'm sure she's thinking, well, now this is not what I've heard of him. He's always been willing to help. I'll just keep asking. When the disciples tried to discourage him, to send her away, she just said, you know, she found out about her persistence. Silence from God sometimes helps you and I to find out more about ourselves. And then we see faith simplicity. She didn't have a big long spiel to tell to the Lord. Matthew 15, Lord help. I like that. When Peter stepped out of the boat on the water, started to sink, Lord save me. I mean, he didn't get around. Lord save me. And the Lord reached out and got him. Faith simplicity. Aren't you glad all of this is by faith? Aren't you glad that it's simple? Aren't you glad that God has made this plan of salvation and all of this that children should not even err in it? You know, it's just so simple. Her daughter's problem was her problem. She was admitting she couldn't help her daughter. And she wasn't complaining or asking about anybody else's needs like the family. She was saying, Lord, help me. And then lastly, we see faith's reward. Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Now listen carefully. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Can I say this? We have no record of the daughter's faith. She's got a devil. The daughter wasn't the one asking Jesus. She wasn't the one expressing faith. But she is the one that's ended up being cured. The devil's being cast out of her. It's her mother that has the faith. It's her mother that's doing the praying. And I'm not saying this morning that your prayers and your faith is going to fix everybody else's problem. But here's what I am saying, that you and I, with the faith that God's given us and with this avenue of prayer that God's given us, we can make a difference. We can make a difference in somebody else's life. We have 2 daughters and 9 grandchildren. 2 son-in-laws, 9 grandchildren. And I believe with everything that's within me that my wife and I have made a difference in our daughters' lives and in our grandchildren's lives because of the faith that we have and because of us praying. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that the churches that I minister in and the things that God allows me to do through the radio ministry and the book ministry, I think that we're able to make a difference. This is the way God designed it. This is the way God designed it. And I just want you to know this morning that you may have a son or a daughter. You may have someone that's wayward. You may have someone that's not where they really ought to be. And I want you to know, I'm not guaranteeing you anything, but I am guaranteeing you this. You can make a difference. You can make a difference by you bringing them to the Lord. Amen. If God didn't want us to believe that, He wouldn't have put this in the book. Amen. We're standing all over the house. Preacher, you come. That's the message. Listen, faith, this so great faith, the elements of true faith. God help us. We can see a difference in people's lives through the faith and this thing of prayer that God's given us. Thank you, preacher. God bless you.
Ronnie's coming with a song this morning, and man, listen, you've heard the Word of God today. There is just absolutely nothing to add to it, nothing we can say anymore, except you need to trust Him by faith that God is going to do for you. And as Brother Keith said, sometimes it is you bringing those others to the Lord, bringing your needs, your burdens, your family, whoever it is this morning. Hey, this right here is a good place to bring them and ask God to do these things in their lives, whatever it is that you need done. And praise God, I'm glad to report to you, He can do that.